We read this morning from John chapter 15, verses 1 to 17. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no man than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends. For everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, and so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. This is my command: love each other. This is the word of the Lord.
Andrew, thank you so much. Didn't you read that so well? Thank you very much. Chris is going to come and speak to us now, so let's pray for Chris. Heavenly Father, we pray that your Holy Spirit will speak to each one of us this morning through the words that Chris brings us. Help us to respond to what you are saying to us. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Thank you, Janet, and good morning. It's nice to be with you. It was my birthday this week. Yep, the 2nd of January. I don't know if anyone else has a very close to Christmas birthday. It's a very different experience having a birthday very close to Christmas. But it was my birthday this week, and I was thinking about this before Christmas as I was preparing for this morning. I was helping out with our Christmas experience at church in late November and early December, which is something that we run for children from schools around Bristol in year three, so they're 7 and 8 years old. And I was running one of the stations just over that side of the church. And you know how kids ask you how old you are? And so this young girl came up to me and she looked at me and she said, how old are you? And I asked her that that dreaded question back to her, which is, how old do you think I am? You ask a kid that question? And she looked at me and she said, 57. And I know, well, hopefully I don't look 57, but I was 38 on January the 2nd. And asking kids what age you might be is always a bit of a risk. As I was preparing for this morning, and I was speaking on Sunday at church as well, to introduce this new series, this broad theme of wholeheartedness, what it means to be wholehearted followers of Jesus together. I was thinking about it before Christmas and praying. I had this very distinct image in my mind as I was thinking and praying about this today. And it was of I don't know if any of you have owned hamsters in your past, or maybe even now, I don't know. We owned one's kids, and my 10-year-old has had a hamster. And hamsters spend a lot of their time running around on a wheel, don't they? They sleep a lot, but they also run around at silly times of the night on these wheels. And I got me thinking about how often in life we just run around the wheel of life. You know, we do whatever we do. We get busy with certain things. We might work, or we might see people, and we just run around this wheel of life. And it can often feel like we run around on this wheel of life, and we don't end up feeling like we make a lot of progress. And I wanted to start this whole series of teaching for us this week, as we head into the new year, with this idea of actually maybe for a moment of time this morning, and even maybe as we leave, maybe we could just step off of that constant running wheel of life just for a moment. Just step off of the doingness and the busyness, or the seeing people, the whatever it is that is going on, and just pause and reflect and just allow these words that Jesus speaks to us as he spoke to his friends to really sink into our hearts and our minds this morning. Because what Jesus starts with is this amazing verse. He speaks these amazing words, and he says to his friends, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. I absolutely love the imagery of God our Father as a gardener. I think it's some of the most wonderful imagery of God that we find in Scripture. God the Father as the gardener, tending to the garden, the gardens of our lives. And I don't know if any of you are keen gardeners or have been keen gardeners. I would like to be, but I am definitely not. I'm a very bad gardener, in fact. And I was speaking to someone after our 8 o'clock gathering on Sunday who said to me, you get to a certain point in your life where you might think you get to the kind of age where you would be a good gardener, but it didn't happen for this person either. And I think I'm one of those people who just won't become a good gardener, and that's fine. But I don't know what you think of when you think of the qualities of a good gardener. What do you think the qualities of a good gardener are? I wrote down a few things in my notebook about what some of the qualities of a good gardener might be. I came up with a few things. A good gardener knows the garden really well. Because, secondly, a good gardener is often in the garden. A good gardener knows the seasons. There's an old phrase, I think, that a gardener's best friend is the calendar. Because a gardener knows the seasons of life and the seasons of the weather, which is so important for gardening, because another good quality of a good gardener is that a good gardener knows what to plant and when to plant it, and also significantly where to plant it in the garden. what to plant and when to plant and where to plant it. A good gardener knows when it's time to cut something off or dig something out. I was speaking to Ruthie, our kids' pastor, yesterday. She said she spent quite a bit of time over the weekend pulling out these roots and these weeds and these vines that had just grown across her garden. A good gardener knows when it's time to cut something off or dig something out, and when it's time to prune something. A good gardener knows the best conditions for producing fruit and growth. I asked my two girls, who are 7.5 and 10, what they thought the qualities of a good gardener might be, which they've never seen in me. Jessica, who is 10, she said, a good gardener is always consistent. So a good gardener is always gardening. And Rafi, my 7.5-year-old, said, a good gardener is strong. And I think you do need often to be strong as a gardener. If we take all of those qualities, and you will no doubt have your own thoughts about what the qualities of a good gardener might be, if we take some of those qualities and we begin to attribute those qualities to this Father that Jesus talks about here in John 15, I am the true vine and my Father is the gardener. Tending to the garden of our lives. And so my question really for us this morning is, could we start the year, and it is such a privilege to be together, I think, at the beginning of a new year. Could we start our year not mostly aware of the things that we do, the doingness of our lives, the wheel that keeps turning and running, but mostly aware of our trust in and in the work of the gardener? Could we be most aware as we come into this year of the work of the gardener in our lives, the faithful gardener who is tending to his garden? Jesus says something really interesting, doesn't he, at the beginning of these verses? He says, I am the true vine. My Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. Jesus says, I am the true vine, which implies to me that there could be false vines. What would a false vine be? Well, as branches, because that's what we are in this picture, in this story, we are branches. And branches are connected to something. And there could be many things in our lives that we're connected to. And some of those things might be things that might not be very helpful for us to be connected to. And so Jesus says, I am the true vine. Remain in me. My Father is the gardener, and he knows when to cut something off and when to prune something. So I wonder, might there be things in our lives that we are connected to and remaining in that are not very helpful for us at the beginning of this year? And we might hear the words of Jesus this morning to remain in him. To remain in him. He says, my Father cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes. Now, the cutting off of a branch and the pruning of a branch would look and feel very similar, wouldn't it, to the untrained eye? Cutting off a branch and pruning a branch would be very similar. In our old flat, we had this amazing rose bush. It was the only good thing in our garden, and it wasn't planted by us or even tended to by us, really. We had this amazing rose bush. It grew these amazing pink roses, and it would seem to flower at multiple times in the year. It would often have flowers on it, even at unexpected times to me. But sometimes we would find our neighbor who lived above us, and she would be in our garden, and she would be pruning back the branches of the rose bush, just cutting it back. And for a time, it would look, I don't know, terrible. It would look like it would never grow anything ever again. But part of the work of the pruning is to cut back in order that it might then produce more flower. It's the same in our lives, isn't it? There are some things in our lives, no doubt, in the process of discipleship and journeying with Jesus that need cutting off completely. Things that we connected to, things that we think about and deal with in our lives just need cutting off. But some things need pruning. And whilst those two things might look quite similar to the untrained eye, they're very, very different, because the pruning is designed for you and for me to bear more fruit. And so I wonder, might there be things that need cutting off in our lives? But secondly, might there be things that God is pruning in our lives as we enter this year, in order that we might bear more fruit for him? Now, the question of fruit here is a really big one, isn't it? Because actually the word fruit comes up a lot in these verses. What does Jesus say to his friends? He says, "Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine and you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing." I feel very challenged by those verses. I feel challenged by the amount of time that I might spend trying to do things in my own strength, trying to accomplish things, trying to be fruitful in my life, just going about things and trying to do it on my own. Jesus says, apart from me, you can do nothing. And so as we enter this year, 2022, I don't want to do nothing. I want to be fruitful. But the key to fruitfulness in God's kingdom is inherently and centrally connected to our ability to remain in Jesus. That's it. What does he say? If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. I had a conversation with someone yesterday. They asked me about this idea of fruit. They said, what do you mean by this idea of fruit? What if someone remains in Jesus and feels like they don't bear fruit? What if someone doesn't have the ability to bear fruit in the way that you think they might? What if someone just isn't in that place? What do you mean by fruit? Well, here's the thing. And fruitfulness and remaining in Jesus are so connected. I don't believe that we can remain in Jesus and not bear fruit. But it's important the way that we define fruitfulness. Now, the work of the gardener in us to produce fruit, what is the fruit the gardener is looking for? He's looking for the fruit that enables us to become more like Jesus, primarily. That's the fruit. That we might become more like Jesus, because as we become more like Jesus, what flows out of us into the world around us, as we talk to people and connect with people, is that people meet Jesus through us. And so remaining in Jesus and fruitfulness are completely, centrally tied together. So as we start this year, let's maybe not focus so much on all the doingness. And why don't we focus more on the remainingness? That's not a word, but. So the fruit the gardener is looking for is Christ-likeness. It's becoming more like Jesus. And so if we were to turn to Galatians and look at the fruits of the Spirit, because we actually have a list of fruit in the Bible already, isn't that amazing? The Bible gives us already a whole list of fruit. And so my question now for us, I suppose, is this. Well, as we remain in Jesus, and as we enter this year as wholehearted followers of Jesus, if we were to look at Galatians, we would find those fruit. How's the fruit of love doing in our life today? Or the fruit of joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, self-control. That's the kind of fruit that the gardener is looking for. And what's the amazing thing about that fruit? that it doesn't matter how young you are, it doesn't matter how old you are, it doesn't matter how capable you are or incapable you might feel like you are, that that fruit is available to every person on planet Earth right now. And it begins with remaining in Jesus. Because that fruit begins as an internal work inside of us, and it begins to make its way out to change the world around us as people meet Jesus through us. And so we can actually look at the fruit of our lives very clearly based on the fruit in Galatians. Jesus says, if you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. And so here's my thoughts, my stand as I enter 2022. I want to be aware more of the work of the gardener in my life than I am of the doingness of my life. Believing that as I remain in Jesus, that I will bear much fruit. That he will make me more like his son. And that as I become more like his son, and I demonstrate those fruits that we talked about, as well as others, that the people around me will also meet Jesus. That the world would genuinely be a better place because I reflect Jesus more wholly. And that's my prayer for us as a community and as a church this year. That we would remain in Jesus. And that we would bear much fruit. And we would know that apart from him, we might try, but we can do nothing. Let's pause and pray together now. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are the gardener, that you are tending to the gardens of our lives, and that we can trust you to know what you're doing with our lives. I thank you that you call each of us to bear fruit, and that none of us is excluded from that call. And so I pray that as we begin this year, that you would enable us, you would help us by your Holy Spirit to remain in you, to remain connected to you, that we might be a people who bear much fruit for you, that we might see this world changed and transformed for the better as people meet Jesus through us. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.